And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezevic are with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Joe Rexrode, what's going on? How are we doing?
We're doing fine. Good weekend. Kid graduated. Always a good weekend when a kid graduates.
That is a very good weekend. Michelle Knezevic, happy birthday. How are you doing?
Thank you, guys. I'm doing great. Just a little sleepy this morning. Yesterday was like a tease how we all got to sleep in, and that 4 a.m. alarm this morning really hit home early.
It does. It has a tendency to do that, especially after the long weekend. You guys did great on the show yesterday, you and June.
Thank you. Yes, we had a lot of fun. 3 hours, though. This is the first time hosting we did 3.5 hours. I was like, wow. It's a little harder than it looks. The 2 hours on Saturday, that's like solid 3.5. I'm like, oh, wow. I don't know how you guys do it every day, but we did it and it's over. And now I'm back in my producer chair.
Well, pure idiocy is how we do it every day. It's maybe not the typical formula.
It does help.
Got Pretzel Vingen in the house. Little dog sitting for the Stanleys this week. So Vingen's off to, I believe, South Carolina. So watching a little Adam Vingen dog here staring at me as we do the show. So that's fun.
Dog's getting along?
Dog's getting along so far.
Okay, good.
I love the name Pretzel.
Yes. So we'll see what happens on that front. The conference finals in the NHL are set, and the NBA finals set as well. We'll start on the NBA front. Boston takes down Miami in Game 7. Celtics were in control for most of that game in Game 7. So just really a weird 7-game series where not much of it was all that close. Game 6 was a good game. Game 7 ended up being a good game. Heat had to go on an 11-0 run at the end to kind of draw back close to the Celtics there. But Jimmy Butler had a look from three. Not necessarily a great shot, but a look from three nonetheless, and it did not go down for him, and Boston advances to the NBA Finals. So the Celtics and the Warriors coming up in the NBA Finals.
So you didn't like that shot?
No, I did not.
I mean, he was wide open in transition. My only problem with
it is that he shoots 21% from three. Probably don't need to take a three there from Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, but man, I hear you. But, you know, he's hit some big ones too, you know, in this series. I think if he gathers himself just a little bit more, you know, then I think maybe that goes down. He was kind of off balance and rushed it. But I don't know, man, like wide open shot, like, you know, by your best player, you know. That's fine. I've seen a lot of that. I don't know. You could definitely have had worse looks of that, right?
I mean, yes, he can't shoot threes. So I don't know why all of a sudden he's trying to shoot a three right there. He's awful at threes. So stop shooting threes. Go to the basket or get the three to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
It drove me nuts. I was mad about it for 15 minutes, and then I finally got over it.
And now
you brought it back up, and I'm re-mad about it. But yeah. I think Boston-Golden State is going to be a really good series. The Celtics defend when they want to. They defend really, really well, and they're going to need to in this series coming up against Golden State. But I'm excited about this, and I think this is going to be a really good NBA Finals.
I do, too. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the top two defensive efficiency. And that's the thing is I've seen a lot of and it's not that it's inaccurate, but a lot of like Golden State's offense, Boston's defense, no doubt. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see if, you know, what the Celtics can do against this. I think to me, much more difficult offense to deal with, but also Golden State, by the way, is number two in defensive efficiency. So that's going to be interesting too, but there's some tough matchups. Is Jonathan Kuminga, does he have to come into this series with the big wings the Celtics have? Will Porter and Payton be available? There's a lot of interesting questions and matchups in this. I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be, I think, some good games and some, and you know, maybe a lot of games, maybe the most games. We'll see.
Who's going to guard Tatum, do you think?
I think Wiggins. I mean, that would be my guess, but I think it's, that's where, you know, to me, like if you can weave in a Kuminga for a little bit, weave in a Peyton, you know, and I don't know where that is, but like if you could throw different people at them, I think that that would be probably a good thing. You know, Brown, Horford, I mean, you know, there's some matchups with that team for sure. Of course, you know, they, as well as they play defensively, this is also a different deal altogether. When Golden State gets everything going, when you get Poole going off the bench and you get both Steph and Clay, you know, I mean, I haven't seen a team yet that denies them good shots.
Yeah. I mean, it's really difficult to do. So I'm looking forward to this one. I think early call your shot. I think Boston wins in seven. Boston in seven. Wow. Okay. So both of us off the top rope against the Warriors immediately.
Well, I reject both of your called shots. There you go.
Oh, man,
Michelle's been picking everybody to pick Golden State.
That is true.
Golden State, like every round. So
that is true.
In my defense, I have a clip somewhere when Elijah and I did our show, and it was before when the Celtics beat the Bucks. I said that the Celtics are going to beat the Warriors in seven games. So
okay, ooh. All right, I like that.
Joe's probably like, Warriors in four.
In three.
Yes.
They're going to call the series after three games. Like, that's enough. All right.
Boston will forfeit game four. There's no point in even playing. We're done. On the NHL side of things, what a win yesterday for the New York Rangers. They go on the road in game seven. Joe Rexroad's called shot comes true, and the Rangers take down the Carolina Hurricanes in seven games. Really wasn't close yesterday in game seven. Shesterkin was great. Antti Raanta, not so much yesterday, and New York versus Tampa Bay coming up in the Eastern Conference Final.
Stunning to see Carolina play like that at home. They've been undefeated and dominant at home, but this Rangers team is special. And I tell you what, you know, this is where – now, of course, the one difference here is that Tampa Bay's had this rest too, but – this is where maybe you get into a little bit of the understanding of why people don't three-peat, because the duration, when you do this year after year, it is so hard to keep doing it. So I give the Rangers a chance in this series, a chance. It'd be hard to pick them, but I give them a chance, and they do have something special going on for sure. Shesterkin and Vasilevsky, man, that's a heck of a battle here in the Eastern Conference Final.
It's a heck of a battle. And, you know, this doesn't really mean anything in terms of the playoffs, but it is interesting. You know, Greg Wyshynski put out Shesterkin's numbers against the Lightning this season. He's 3-0 with a .958 save percentage and a 1.30 goals against Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay in the regular season and Tampa Bay during this playoff run are two very different things. And we'll see what happens and whether or not Braden Point can come back at some point. But it's funny, like the conference finals on both sides, you got McDavid and McKinnon and Draisaitl and all this electrifying offensive talent on one side. And I'm not saying you don't have that in the Rangers and the Lightning, because you do. But everybody's looking at the goaltending matchup in that one with Shesterkin and Vasilevsky. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I need to know. Like, were any of those back-to-backs?
I don't know.
Were they in, like, some of those stretches with the Lightning? Lightning just this season, you know, would take a week off here. They're like, take a couple games here, chill out a little bit. We'll be ready for the spring. I wouldn't look too much into that. But he's great, too. You know, that's the thing. I mean, he's special. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Absolutely. How about the what did you think of the Trouba hit on Seth Jarvis?
I thought it was right on the borderline, which is the third right on the borderline hit he's had all playoffs long. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, how many of these hits is he going to have throughout the course of the playoffs before, like, basically your luck just runs out and you get suspended at some point because it keeps happening? I mean, you can slow – I mean, it looks at first glance like he hit him right in the head. When you slow it down, he hits him. I mean, it's basically chest, and then, you know, there's some head snapping back.
Some neck snap for sure.
Yeah. But I thought it was a clean hit. But I will say that is between the Crosby hit. There was one earlier in this series. I can't even remember who he hit. I think it was Svechnikov. And then now that no, it was Aho. Now this one. That's the third one Trouba's been involved in. So, I mean, good for him for learning how to hit really hard and right there on the line, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's right on the line. And some of the instant reaction I saw, including just, you know, like people who cover the NHL, you seriously going to go to, I guess the NHL wants those New York ratings, huh? You know, like we're going to go to, it's a conspiracy because, you know, and then you look at it closely, it's like, well, actually, it's technically legal.
Yeah.
Right on the line. By the way, New York ratings aren't good for the NHL. That would not be a reason to conspire to help a team win. But yeah, a lot of that going around last night. Then it's like, well, wait, like, okay, so look at it closely. Okay. I mean, it's, I understand the instant reaction is, oh my God, that's bad. Right. I mean, I get it, but I mean,
especially because he already smoked Crosby and already smoked somebody, like eventually you look around, you're like, okay, what's going on here?
Right. No doubt. I mean, he's right there on the line. And so you're probably right. Like at some point, even this accumulation maybe gets him in trouble at some point, right? For, you know, like there's an accumulation of almost bad hits. And then at some point you get popped for it. But I mean, it just, you know, this is not a conspiracy and like some clearly obvious dirty hit that just went unpunished because the NHL likes New York.
Real quickly, the Western Conference Final. By the way, we'll have Sean Rort from NHL.com coming up later, who has been all over Colorado this playoff. So very familiar with the Avalanche coming up. But I am pumped for Edmonton and Colorado. McKinnon, Draisaitl, McDavid, Makar. Sign me up, man. It's going to be a great Western Conference Final, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, it's going to be entertaining and fun. I still have my questions about Edmonton really being able to hang in there and push Colorado in a series. But hey, man, look at what McDavid's done so far. I mean, he has elevated that team. I'm sorry, McDavid and Draisaitl.
And Draisaitl.
Yeah, poor Leon. Well, Leon gets left behind. But no, it should be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. Must see games. We need these games to be, and they'll be a little bit earlier, I think, right?
I think
they're
so. Yeah.
Do the whole West Coast way late thing. That's good.
Yes, that's always good for all involved. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A dominant week for the Tennessee Volunteers in Hoover. We'll get into that. Look at the regional draws as well for both Tennessee and Vandy coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know, we still got a lot of baseball in front of us.
Yeah, to that note, I think we're really good at kind of separating the celebration from not letting it carry over, so we don't have any of those like championship hangovers, so to speak. So we're going to enjoy it today, but then when we get back to Knox, when it's grind time.
That was Drew Gilbert from Tennessee Baseball after the Tennessee Volunteers win the SEC tournament down in Hoover, Alabama. So regular season SEC title for Tennessee, now an SEC tournament title as well as they head into postseason play. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Dominant run, Joe, for the Vols down in Hoover. They win the SEC tournament, and you know, quite frankly, most of it wasn't all that close either. They are just dominant. They hit the ball really well in the tournament, and the pitching continues to stand out for the Vols as well. Now, they were up 7-0 on Florida in the championship game, and then Florida had an eighth inning rally, I think, to make it 7-3, and Tennessee closed the door after that. But all in all, just another dominant week/weekend down there for the Vols in Hoover, and winning the SEC regular season title, now the tournament title to go along with it, and the number one overall seat in the NCAA tournament as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you quickly move on to the bracket from the conference tournaments. Happens the same way in basketball. And look, I mean, of all the things that you're chasing or that you're gonna, you know, put on your mantle from this year, the SEC tournament may be the like the least coveted, but it's awfully impressive just going there and wipe everybody the way they did. I mean, it's like they just are, it's just an incredible team, you know? And again, with, it's not like they were really fighting for the number one overall seed. I mean, I think that was theirs with just about any outcome, frankly.
Agreed.
This weekend. So, you know, they just go out and just annihilate everyone in the best baseball conference in the country. And maybe it's I guess you could look at the SEC, say, maybe, you know, it's not quite as great top to bottom as it has been in some years. But, I mean, there's still a lot of good programs, a lot of programs in this tournament who could make runs to Omaha, and Tennessee's just toyed with everybody. So pretty darn impressive, you know, and now here it is for real, you know, chance to play at home to get to Omaha.
Yep. So they'll be obviously the host of the Knoxville Regional. Alabama State, the number 4 seed, Campbell at number 3, and Georgia Tech, the number 2 seed in the Knoxville Regional. Joe, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know a ton about Alabama State and Campbell baseball, but, you know, it seems like a pretty good draw for Tennessee. Really, any draw for Tennessee was going to be pretty good. I know some Tennessee fans were worried about maybe NC State sneaking in there as a 4, and they didn't get in there at all. So that's a interesting draw for them. But Alabama State coming up first for Tennessee in this matchup.
Yeah, a lot of power in the regional. So, you know, there's some, you know, there could be some home runs in that park in particular. But it seems like a pretty good draw. I mean, you know, you always look at like the supers, the possibilities like Georgia Southern, Notre Dame, Texas, some of these teams that could possibly be there. I mean, you know, it could be challenging, but you would think that a super would be, you know, challenging to get to Omaha. You know, so there's nothing there that's especially, I mean, think about last year. It was Wright State, right? It was Wright State who just had them beat. And then, you know, that incredible comeback and grand slam and everything. So I just don't know what's going to happen in these tournaments, but I just, with the Vols pitching again, night after night, they don't have any starter. They're like, well, okay, get that bullpen ready here. We may be, you know, it may happen, but it's been awfully consistent with those guys that you're going to get a quality outing. And that's just so hard to find. You can't probably find any team in this tournament who has it like that, like the Vols have it.
And then Vanderbilt, the Vandy boys going out west. It took a while to get to their regional yesterday. They'll be going out to Corvallis as the 2 seed. They'll take on San Diego coming up on Friday, and New Mexico State, the 4 seed in that regional as well. What did you make of the draw and the location for Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I thought they'd be maybe like in Louisville or Chapel Hill or something like that. To me, it speaks to their finish, you know, and I also would say like them getting shipped out there to play to be matched up with a 3 seed and a pretty good, you know, number 3 overall seed, and themselves being a 2 seed playing a good 3 in San Diego, I think that tells you that, you know, RPI has its limitations. Their RPI has been extremely high all year, and their strength of schedule, I think, has been number 1 all year, which is great. But, you know, their performance, getting smoked by LSU, getting swept in that series, you know, I think it's pretty clear that the RPI didn't weigh as heavily as some thought it might. So it's tough. I mean, you know, Oregon State is one of those great programs. You're in their place. San Diego, again, is a very good, very high-octane offensive team. So it's tough, but you know what? I bet you they still have more good baseball players than anybody else out there. I mean, you know, it's – so, and, you know, Carter Holton has been on an absolute tear. He hasn't given up a run in like 20 plus innings. So,
24 you know, consecutive.
Yeah. You got to give them a chance. You know, you cannot count them out. Like if you're Oregon State, you're just like, oh, keep them over there. Yeah, come get them over, send them somewhere else. Right. So, it's going to be really interesting. They haven't put it all together. They are very much a flawed team. You know, they've got some guys in the lineup who just, you know, have just had tough years, and they just have a lot of good arms, but a lot of young arms, and it hasn't all come together. But, you know, you start with Holton and you hope that he can be that freshman ace to, you know, to kind of set the tone, and who knows from there.
Well, Vanderbilt's been a good road team this year. And I know it's not, you know, your traditional road series going up against the same team every time, but they've been a good road team this year for whatever reason. They've got the same winning percentage on the road as they do at home, according to Aria Gerson from the Tennessean. That actually is, you know, if you haven't checked it out at the Tennessean, go check it out. Aria's got a great breakdown of this series or this regional coming up for Vanderbilt heading out west. But, you know, it was a very underwhelming end to the SEC tournament for Vanderbilt. They did not show well in that tournament, did not show well in the last series of the regular season against LSU as well. So by no means are they playing their best baseball heading into this. Now, that can change quickly as you head into postseason play and you can get hot at the right time, but it's hard to feel really good about the direction that they're heading in right now, because the most recent body of work for Vanderbilt has not been all that impressive.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the LSU series was, to me, kind of out of nowhere. The way the pitching just fell apart. It's hard to totally explain that. I mean, you know, these things happen in baseball. They just got a huge road series win at Arkansas, which is also kind of fading here down the stretch, you know, but still a dangerous team. So, yeah, you do get the clean slate, and it's just, you know, that first game, obviously it's just so important in these regionals, the way they set up, the double elimination set up, to, you know, to get that first win and go from there, and obviously preserve the pitching. I mean, they do have a lot of arms. They have pitching depth. Question is, how many of those guys are ready to, you know, really step up and give good performances? They've had a lot of them who haven't of late. You know, you count on Holton, and, you know, Fittrell has been really good. You know, they have a lot of guys, a lot of talent. Can it all come together and play its best when it matters most?
Coming up next, Joe Rexroad asked a pretty interesting question on the Twitterverse over the weekend that I'm interested to get his thoughts on, interested to get your thoughts on as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the regionals in the NCAA baseball tournament. Joe, you asked, I thought, a very interesting question over the weekend on Twitter. Tennessee rolls through the SEC tournament. They win again. So SEC regular season champions, SEC tournament champions. And basically the question you threw out there is, are you taking Tennessee or are you taking the field coming up in the NCAA tournament and the College World Series once it gets to Omaha? And some interesting responses there. Some people said Tennessee. A lot of people said, well, it's the field. What are you talking about? Why is that even a question? I thought it was a good question, because the way that Tennessee's been playing basically all year, they are the overwhelming favorite heading into postseason play here in college baseball. So let's get through that question. Let's drill down on that question. Tennessee or the field? I think it's legitimate, Joe Rexo. What say you?
Well, and then the selection show yesterday copied me, clearly reading my tweets, and asked the same question. Yeah, I mean, typically the field is the way to go on any question like this. The only time you ever ask a question like this is if there's a clear, overwhelming favorite in a tournament, you know?
It should be like Tiger Woods or the field.
Yeah, right. You know, there's definitely – and, you know, there was a time in life when Tiger's probably the way to go. And still, if you go back then, it's not like he won every tournament, right? I mean, right. So I would – yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I mean, I feel like they're going to be – in most years you have – you have a favorite. Some years you don't really have a clear favorite, but in most years you have a favorite. You also have a bunch of other teams that people pick to win it. I feel like Tennessee will be overwhelmingly picked to win this tournament. I mean, they are the clear favorite. So I thought that was an interesting question. I mean, if I'm answering the question, I'm still probably going to go field, just because it just, I mean, just the odds are, I mean, you're just going by the math. it's still the better pick. But again, I think it's worth thinking about. It's definitely worth thinking about.
Oh, I think it's for sure worth thinking about. I mean, they've been the most dominant team all year long. I mean, I think since March 28th, they've been the number one team in the country. So, I mean, you're going on a little bit over two months now where they've been the number one team in the country. They're going to be the overwhelming favorite heading into postseason play here. Now, you brought it up. There's, you know, I don't want to just breeze past the regional because anything can happen in postseason baseball play. But if they make it to the super regional, there are some pretty interesting matchups there that could give them some trouble. But, I mean, the thing that stands out to me that I think got put on full display yet again this week is the pitching depth. They just have so much depth on the mound, and that's what you need this time of year. I mean, obviously, you're going to need your lineup to continue to hit the ball, and they've been very consistent in that area all year long. But this time of the year, it's about pitching, and Tennessee's got a ton of pitching depth, and that should serve them well as they head into this tournament. I think it's fair to say they've got more depth on the mound than anybody has heading into this tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And consistently excellent depth. I mean, it's really remarkable. If you look at the preseason picks for this Tennessee team, you know, it's not quite like the Grant Williams hoops team a few years ago that was picked like 13th out of 14, which, by the way, I there's video of me telling Adam Sparks at the Tennessee, and like, that is one of the dumbest. What is wrong with SEC media picking that team? I'm just saying. But, you know, they did it. And I will say that I did not think this Tennessee team, pitching was the whole thing. I just, okay, you know, Blade Tidwell, and then they lost a bunch of guys. And, okay, so, you know, who's coming and stepping up? And it's just been incredible. I will also say that this weekend, I mean, Georgia Tech is a dangerous team. Georgia Tech is fifth in the country with 110 homers. And, again, that's a good part. If you like homers. You know, that's a team that, you know, a good program. They beat Georgia 2 out of 3. They swept the number 4 overall seed below Virginia Cokies this year. So, I mean, that's a legit team that its hope would be, you know, winning in a slugfest. And we may see some, you know, some wild ones in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. So they're certainly not like, you can't just ignore them. I mean, Campbell and Alabama State, you know, I don't know how much. I love that the fact that they're the Campbell fighting camels. I mean, that's amazing. They did, you know, they beat like Ohio State, Duke. So, I mean, like, it's not like they play a lot of good, you know, like high, you know, whatever, high major team and had some success. So, you know, it's not just a total gimme. But Georgia Tech, to me, is definitely that's the team that, just because they have that kind of punch in their lineup, you know, you run into a couple and you can change a game.
Well, I agree. And I think one thing that should serve Tennessee well, a lot of these guys were in Omaha last year. They kind of saw how things went there. They didn't play their best baseball in Omaha. And you've talked about this before, like, you know, sometimes it's a building process to get to where you ultimately want to be. And Mississippi State had been to Omaha, I think, 3 years in a row before they finally punched down the door last year and won. I'm not saying that that's just direct causation and effect there for Tennessee, that they, just because they were in Omaha last year means they're going to win. But I do think that experience can serve them well. I think Tony Vitello said this on our show before, and it was pretty clear they did not play their best last year. So they're going to have to do that this year if they get back to that point. But there is a lot of experience in this lineup anyway, in terms of having pitched or of having played there before. Now, pitching wise, you know, they got a lot of freshmen and a lot of guys that have not been in that situation before. So I do think that's something that's interesting to watch as they get into regional play here. Like, there's not really been a ton of pressure on this Tennessee team just because they've been rolling through everybody this year. Like, how do these young pitchers respond to pressure if things get tight out there in postseason play? I don't know what the answer to that's going to be. They've not really been in that situation. So that is something that I guess is a question mark for me about this team as they head into postseason play.
Yeah, no, it's valid. And that's what's what's great about this is like the pressure and the situation, all that. I mean, it's just different, and it can, and you know, it's not quite like, you know, it's hard to duplicate the NCAA basketball tournament when you have the neutral site and you have like this crowd that starts building against the favorite, and you can just feel it in the building. You don't have that because obviously these teams are playing, these favorites, the teams that are heavily favored, are always playing at home at this stage. But you saw it last year in that first game. It was like stunning. You know, they were just getting beat up until they made that incredible comeback in the first game. So it will be interesting. I just feel like they're built to handle it, you know. And so I go to Peter Burns' tweet from this weekend about this team. He says, quote, "I'm in studio 95% for games in season, so I couldn't wait to see what Tennessee baseball looked like up close. It's the best team I've ever seen in college baseball. They got a Joe Burrow 2019 level of championship swagger about them, a relentless barrage of talent, and A++ chemistry," end quote. You know, it's anybody who sees this team, it's just, I mean, it was, to me, I was stunned before we knew how good they were, really. But this year, those three games at Hawkins Field, it was just like, my gosh. And of course, so much of the attention that weekend was on the bat confiscation, right? But
oh yeah,
but I mean, they have everything. It's just, it's remarkable. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, so is this just like everything comes together? Certainly. I mean, Vitello has said it. Like, there's a couple pitchers this year. He didn't count. He didn't know that Drew Beam was going to be this good, you know, all year, things like that. But still, like, is this kind of one of those just like it all came together teams, or is this a sign of things to come? Is this guy just have like some kind of incredible knack for team building, not just gathering talent, but like they're a machine and they get along? So like, again, the chemistry is something that everybody talks about, their celebrations and they piss people off and all this stuff. But what about like, you know, the culture, yes, of the program? It's it's awfully special, it appears from the outside. So that will be tested, of course, by the pressure of the situation.
So how many SEC teams do you think can get to Omaha? As you look out there, I mean, I think it's fair to say it's probably not as strong as a conference this year as it was certainly last year, when, I mean, there were teams left and right last year that you thought could get to Omaha out of the SEC. Are there any other teams that you feel good about maybe making a push to Omaha in this conference?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like last year, the number one overall seed, remember, was Arkansas.
Yep.
And they get stunned and don't make it to Omaha. But you get Vanderbilt and Mississippi State and Tennessee and Omaha, and you get Vanderbilt and Mississippi State playing for the whole thing. It was, I would say, top to bottom, a bit stronger. But, you know, certainly, I mean, I think Florida, you know, I mean, Florida's got a shot. I mean, Auburn's got a shot. I mean, I guess I'd be disappointed if, and I'm sorry to do this, but like, I'm penciling Tennessee in. I hate to do it. I mean, Texas A&M is, you know, the second best SEC team, I think. They got a great shot to get there. I think we're going to see at least one or two other teams in there. I mean, it's hard for me to pick Vanderbilt, but I also, again, if I'm the core, if I'm Oregon State, I don't relish that either. So, I mean, Arkansas, just like Vanderbilt, kind of drops to a two. They got to go out to Oklahoma State, but I mean, they're dangerous. LSU is a two. They got to go to Southern Miss. I wouldn't love that if I was Southern Miss either. You know, LSU is a really talented team. They always are. So, you know, a team like Ole Miss is a three seed. They've just got in. By the way, Kentucky, a lot of people thought maybe Kentucky played themselves into the tournament. They didn't quite, although most of the anger is over NC State, which, what a rough year or so for NC State athletics, by the way.
Yeah, no question about it.
A lot of people were really upset they didn't make it. But anyway, so there, I mean, there's a lot of SEC teams. I would pick right now Tennessee and Texas A&M for sure. I like those two to get there. And if you tell me a Florida's going to get there, you tell me an LSU makes a run or something like that, I won't be surprised at all. Even Vanderbilt.
Coming up next, Tennessee Athletics is in the best spot that it's been in probably well over a decade at this point. Who deserves the credit for that? We'll get into that coming up next. Got some tickets to give away as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You can go yard all May long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every single home run. The New York Yankees, they've got the short porch out there in right field at Yankee Stadium. I like Anthony Rizzo, but you take it any way you want to take it. What are you waiting on? Just pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Head on over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to both the Rackley Roofing 200 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race on June 24th and the Tennessee Lottery 250 NASCAR Xfinity Series race coming up on June 25th at the Nashville Super Speedway. The caller number three, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a pair of tickets to both the Rackley Roofing 200 coming up on June 24th and the Tennessee Lottery 250 NASCAR Xfinity Series race coming up on June 25th at the Nashville Super Speedway. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've discussed this Tennessee baseball team. They are the number one seed heading into postseason play coming up later this week. So, an SEC regular season title, an SEC tournament title. The Vols basketball team just won an SEC tournament. A nice run for Kelly Harper and the Lady Vols. And Tennessee football, I think it's fair to say, in Josh Heupel's first year, exceeded expectations and now has done some pretty good things on the recruiting trail as well. So all in all, this is the best spot that Tennessee athletics has been in a long time. I think you got to go back to at least a decade, probably more than a decade ago, for Tennessee athletics to be this good across the board. How did they get to this point, and who deserves credit for it, do you think, to getting this athletic department and this program through this point? Now, you know, obviously Danny White has taken over as athletic director. He did not hire Rick Barnes. He did not hire Tony Vitello. He did hire Josh Heupel. But how do you think Tennessee athletics has gotten to this point, and who do you think deserves credit for getting it to this point?
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where, well, first of all, I think Danny White was a very good hire. I think he's a good AD. And I think Tennessee's in good hands here. And it's an ever-changing landscape. You know, that's the interesting thing. I mean, I've talked to Danny White about, like, fundraising and facilities and all this stuff. And briefly about name, image, likeness, and he was kind of dismissive, you know. But the bottom line, which I think all ADs kind of are, but the bottom line is, as you move forward, if you're an AD, like, you have a real, it's a really interesting situation for the people who normally are giving you money for all the things that you are doing to build around and try to help, you know, the programs have success. And now a lot of them are like, well, I think I want to make sure this thing has money for the players. So, you know, all of which is, I'm just to say, like, it's a really interesting time to be an AD. I think he's a good hire. I think he's. I think it's a good situation for Tennessee. I just don't know how much credit he gets. I mean, like he didn't hire Tony Vitello. I mean, that, like, part of Tennessee being in such a great situation is just the individual programs, being where they are. So, I mean, I know people, you know, don't want to credit, you know, past ADs, including a particular AD of much dislike, but he did hire Tony Vitello.
He did
with very little fanfare. And you know, look at, like, Fulmer, Philip Fulmer show. you know, at the time when he hired Kelly Harper, my perception of that was, you know, he just didn't put in, like, you don't just auto hire like the best possible former Pat Summit player. Like, how much did Philip Fulmer put into, you know, to that hire? And I wrote a column to that effect in the Tennessean, and I was very skeptical. You know, she's had some good success. She's been a head coach, kind of ups and downs depending on where she's been. Well, that's worked out really well, it appears. I mean, again, next year I think she has a chance to have like a legit, you know, Final Four possible team. So that looks great. Rick Barnes has had his program rolling. So a lot of these just individual programs that are going. Softball's been good for a long time, right? So you can go way back on that. That's been a consistently good program. But, you know, I do think you give Danny White credit for bringing in a coach who at the time, lots of people did not like the hire.
Us too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so far, early going, but it looks promising. And, you know, when that looks good, I feel like the reflection is on everything else looks even better than it is.
So my takeaway from what you just said there was you're giving credit to John Curry and Dave Hart for the sake of this athletic program.
Well,
John Curry hires Vitello, Dave Hart hires Rick Barnes, and things are off and running from there, man.
I mean, hey, that's the thing. Dave Hart, a guy, very polarizing AD. A lot of people didn't like a lot of stuff he did, but he did some good stuff. So, yeah, a little bit of – and, yeah, you know, John Curry. Hey, that's a – I mean, look, we've just been talking about Tony Vitello and what he's done in a short period of time. It's been almost instant success, and then it just builds and builds and builds to the point where we're talking about greatest teams ever. At this point in his tenure, Tony Vitello could pick his job right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sorry, but you got to go back to John Curry. Like, when John Curry hired Tony Vitello, I'm trying to think of what the reaction was. I think I might have seen a press box in my email, a press release in my email, you know? Okay, yeah. Tony, is that Vitello? Vitello? How do you say it? Okay, all right. All right, great. Big whoop. Very little fanfare, and it turns out to be a pretty keen observation by John Curry, which makes me think, what if Greg Schiano would have actually been the coach? How different might things be? All right, I'm sorry, Ball Twitter. Don't get mad at me.
Oh, boy. David in Nolensville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I don't think one person deserves all the credit, but the better times seem to start with Dave Hart's hire of Rick Barnes. I mean, look, we can go down the Rick Barnes rabbit hole, and I know a lot of Tennessee fans are fed up with the postseason flops that have come along the way. Rick Barnes has been a really good hire for Tennessee basketball. He just has been. And at some point, he's going to run into a situation where he's going to have to start winning with the talent that he brings in March. I understand that. But, I mean, you just won an SEC tournament. As David points out, I do kind of think that's where the turnaround started for Tennessee athletics. Now, as Philip Fulmer said on our show a couple weeks ago, and this is, I still believe, true, this conversation really starts with football, because football is always going to be the driver of this athletic department. And Josh Heupel, it was a good first year. Now, how do you build on it? Can you continue to stack up recruiting classes? There's still a lot left to be determined about Josh Heupel. But I do think that the hiring of Rick Barnes, postseason aside of people's disappointment, I understand all that. That's been a really good thing for Tennessee. To me, that's probably where this started.
No, for sure. It is. I mean, that's just – and look, that hire. I remember just from afar thinking, Rick Barnes, good coach, but he's just been underwhelming at Texas. Like, what's he going to do in Knoxville? I mean, a lot of people looked at it as like, oh, so Rick Barnes is going to get one more payday and then retire. Yay. You know, there wasn't much excitement. And then the recruiting wasn't supposed to be good, except like some of those recruits included people like, you know, Grant Williams and Jordan Bone. And it's like, oh, wow, actually, they are really good. So, yeah. So I agree. That's a big moment. I do think that, but on the football front, I mean, look at Vanderbilt. I think there's a lot of positive momentum for Vanderbilt, right? A lot of programs. I mean, I think we're going to see that women's basketball. You know, we'll see with men's basketball. I mean, it's gotten better, but it's got a take another step. Obviously, baseball is great, but like when football struggles, I think you miss it a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if Tennessee football right now was just a year earlier, coming off the Pruitt debacle, this stuff would seem, I don't know, less impressive, or it'd still be like, yeah, this stuff's good, but, you know, you look at football. By the way, speaking of Vanderbilt, congratulations, national championship for a freshman in golf yesterday. So,
nice.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to make sure to say his name correctly, because that's a big deal. They're right there too. Yeah, Gordon Sargent, freshman, national champion for Vanderbilt. So, so there's a lot, you know, a lot of good things going on both places, but yeah, football, you know, that still drives the conversation.
There's no question about it. And I think people feel really good about football. Now, I will say this. I remember a time, Joe Rexrode, where people were pretty excited about the Jeremy Pruitt era in football as well. I'm not trying to compare Josh Heupel to Jeremy Pruitt. I'm just saying, you know, it's been 1 year. Let's not get carried away with the Josh Heupel stuff. Let's not, you know, maybe throw out a contract extension to the coach yet either.
About to start taking a bite out of some people's butts. That's all I know. Of course people are going to get carried away. Come on.
I know. It's what Vol Twitter does. It's why we love Vol Twitter so much. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A quick shout out from Matt on the text line says, two local teams won the Southeast State Wars Tournament over the weekend here in Hendersonville. The Hendersonville Hat Tricks won the 10 and under, and local goalie Evan Groslin won the MVP. Wish Snipe Selly won the 8U. First off, it's a great team name. And a local player, Holden Smith, won the 8U MVP. So good stuff happening around here locally as well with strong inline hockey programs. So shout out coming from Matt on the text line. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, including some disrespect to the Titans defense over the weekend that I really couldn't believe when I saw it. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.